Well, if you have your Bible this evening, I hope you do, please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7 this evening as we finally get back to introducing our new section in our study of Paul's prayers from the pages of the New Testament. And this is a journey that I just want you to remember that we began almost 3 years ago when we started to study what it looks like to pray in accordance to God's will, starting by just looking at Christ's own ministry through the Gospel of Luke. We want to learn to be people of prayer as the disciples asked Jesus. And so we've been studying Paul's prayers as recorded in the pages of the New Testament, and we've been learning through his example what to adore, appreciate, ask for, admonish, and amen in our own prayer lives. And we've seen first what we ought to adore, and that is God, everything that He is in and of Himself. We've seen second what we ought to appreciate, and that is Jesus and all the grace that we find through a relationship with Him. And most recently, we've looked at what we ought to ask for when it comes to the salvation of unbelievers, and then when it comes to literally every need that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ have here on earth. We ought to lift that up to the Lord in prayer. But when it comes to prayer, what we find in the pages of the New Testament is Paul not only demonstrates prayer, but he dictates it. He not only asks God in prayer, he admonishes other believers in prayer as well. And this is something that we ought to study as a church as well, because I don't know about you, but I need to be admonished in my prayer lives. And not only that, but we're not alone. We need to admonish and encourage each other when it comes to our prayer lives as well. And so studying Paul's admonitions in prayer will be very helpful to us. And so when it comes to this new section of our study tonight of what to admonish when it comes to prayer, we are looking at what I would call Paul's key admonition when it comes to prayer, his most famous one that summarizes and introduces much of what he says throughout the pages of the New Testament. And that is Philippians 4, 5 through 7, where Paul writes these words. He says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Before I go any further, even just reminding you of what we've covered already, let's ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the chance that we have this Wednesday evening to come together to study around your word, to consider this key admonition of Paul, and to be able to apply it to our lives. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who comes alongside the preaching of your word and helps us to understand the things that you've freely given to us. We thank you for how he works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would be mightily at work at this time in your people, so that we would hear this admonition and we would follow it in obedient faith. Give us grace to do this tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage, which is Paul's key admonition on prayer, can be broken down into two basic sections. In verses 5 through 6, we see the principles of prayer, and then in verse 7, we see the promise of prayer. So the principles followed by the promise. When it comes to the principles of prayer in verses 5 through 6, Paul lays out three basic principles about prayer very slowly in these two verses by showing us gradually that we ought to pray at all times, in all circumstances, about all things. Pray at all times, in all circumstances, about all things. Last time we were here in this passage, we looked at the first principle of prayer there in verse 5, which is the principle to pray at all times. This is where Paul begins by saying, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." And Paul's reasoning here is pretty clear. God is always present, therefore we ought to always pray. This is how we as followers of Christ stay sane in an insane world. This is how we let our reasonableness be known to all. It's by letting our requests be made known to God. God is always at hand, and therefore we should always pray. So that was the first principle that we looked at that Paul presents here. We should pray at all times. And the second principle flows out of that. We should pray at all times in all circumstances. And that's what Paul says at the beginning of verse 6. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, he eventually says, let your requests be made known to God. So here Paul acknowledges something that we all know to be true about life. And that is this. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. None of us knows what will happen in the next given moment. None of us. As one person put it, the one thing that's certain in life is that nothing is certain in life. Literally anything can happen. We have no anticipation of what the future holds. But that's still no reason to worry. Just because anything can happen, that doesn't mean we have to be anxious about anything. Why? Because in everything, in every circumstance, the Lord is still at hand. That's the second thing that's certain, even though that first person that made that quote was an unbeliever. The second thing that's certain in life is that God is always at hand. He's the one who planned all of our days and hours before we even lived one of them, as Psalms 139 verse 19 says, and he's the one who goes before us into all of those plans, days, and hours as well. As Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. No matter the circumstances that will ever come to us in life, in everything, the Lord is still at hand. And therefore, in everything, we can still pray. Nothing cuts us off from our relationship with the Father. And that's why Paul says here, literally in the Greek, stop being anxious. In other words, he assumes that this is going to be our natural bent of thinking. We're going to be worrying and anxious about things. That word anxious here paints the picture of being pulled in different directions, particularly when it comes to cares and concerns of this life. And we all know what this is like, right? It comes to mind quite frequently for me, right? You're with your family, perhaps, at home, and suddenly you start thinking about this circumstance or this situation or this event that may or may not happen in the future. And soon, even though your body is present in the here and now, your mind is 1,000 miles away and running on into events that might happen next year, right? This is what anxiety is defined as, right? That's anxiety. It is an inordinate care and concern that consumes your thoughts and attention, and it is something that rips you out of the time and place in which God has providentially put you. Well, God is telling us here, you know what? You don't live like that. Don't let concerns about the future distract you from the joys and the opportunities of the present. Don't be anxious about anything. You say, well, how do I get there? Okay, that'd be great not to be anxious about anything. How do I get there? Is it by just not caring? Is that the solution? Is that what we're being asked to do here? You know, I am never anxious about anything. Why? Because I don't care about anything. That is not what is being admonished here. That is not right. We are, as believers, to care and intensely care about many, many things. When we study Scripture, even just this word, anxious or caring, we find out that we're supposed to care about the things of the Lord. We're supposed to care about our families and our spouses. We're supposed to care about our fellow church members. We're supposed to care about each other's general welfare. And we're supposed to care about the spiritual health, growth, and ministries of the church. So no, the solution to not having anxiety is to not care about anything. That is not the solution. The solution to not being anxious is to know where to take your cares to. And that's to the Lord in prayer. As Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, he says, let your requests be made known to God. So how do you get rid of anxiety? It's by taking all of those cares and those concerns that you have, and some of them are legitimate and right, and it is by committing them to the Lord in prayer. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And that's how you get rid of anxiety. You cast those cares off by saying, God, I cannot carry this. Only you can. Deal with this, would you? I can't handle this. You're the only one who can. That's how you get rid of anxiety. It's through prayer. Psalms 34 verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. He can. We need to stop brooding over the issues of our life like hens over eggs, thinking to ourselves, I'm the one that's ultimately responsible for this. That's not true. Ultimately, it's God. He is the sovereign one. He's the Almighty One. He's the ever-present and living One. And when you remember that this is the Lord that's ever at hand, then we know that we always have another option other than worrying, and that's turning to the Lord in prayer. So we should pray at all times, in all circumstances, about all things. That's the final principle that Paul lays out here at the end of verse 6, where Paul writes, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now there, Paul uses three different words to describe prayer, and I don't think we need to make much out of them or try to split hairs when it comes to making a distinction between all these words. But if it's helpful, I'll kind of categorize them in this way. He says, first, approach God by prayer. That is, by adoring, devoted, worshipful approach to God. And we've seen this, right? We've seen that we ought to adore God when it comes to prayer. Paul also says that we ought to approach God by supplication. That is, by pouring out definite petitions and requests. And we've seen that also, right? We not only to adore, but we are to ask for things. And then finally, we see that we ought to approach God with thanksgiving. In other words, we ought to appreciate some things as well in prayer. That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Adore, appreciate, ask for. Just like what we've been studying over the last several months in Paul's prayers. And Paul's basic point here is whether you're approaching God by prayer or by supplication or by thanksgiving, just let your request, this is his emphasis, let your request be made known to God. Just do it. In other words, he's saying, don't hold back, pray. Let your request be made known to God. See, so often we let certain thoughts or concerns keep us from praying, don't we? Well, I don't know if I'm saying this right. I don't know if this is where what God's secret will is. I don't know if my heart's in the right place. Just let your request be made known to God. Well, but if I don't know if I like having this other person listening, right? I don't know what they'll think about my prayers. Just let your request be made known to God. Well, I don't know if this is really that big of a deal. Maybe I shouldn't be so concerned about it that I am, you know? Maybe this is a ridiculous thing and I'm blowing it all out of proportion. Just let your request be made known to God. That's the emphasis of Paul's message here. Listen, God cares about all things. He really does. He cares about the big things, and he cares about the small things. That's why you and I are here. So cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Don't ever be ashamed of any of your prayers. Now, don't ever be proud of any of your prayers either, but don't ever be ashamed of them. Don't ever be ashamed of them. Just pray. Pray about all things. Let your request be made known to God, and he'll take care of the rest. And so those are the three principles on prayer that Paul introduces here in this passage and that he'll return to often throughout his admonitions on prayer in his New Testament letters. Pray at all times, in all circumstances, about all things. But why? What's the benefit? What's the advantage of praying at all times, in all circumstances, about all things? Well, after considering the principles of prayer, Paul then shows us the promise of prayer in verse 7, where he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul starts off with the word "and." In other words, as a result of relying on God's presence and power through prayer, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is a wonderful, wonderful promise. We might not always see a change in our circumstances. We might not always experience the exact answer to prayer that we would hope for, but we can always experience peace. We can convert our panic into peace through prayer. I think we probably should put that up on a poster somewhere, right? We can convert our panic into peace through prayer. That's a promise. God promises that when we give him our problems, he gives to us his peace. Think about that. The very peace of God himself is being talked about here. The one who sits in the heavens, as Psalms 2 talks about, and laughs at what's going on earth, right? The one who dwells in absolute tranquility and oversees all things in absolute sovereignty, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is the peace of God that he imparts to believers when they rely on him in faith through prayer. This is perfect peace. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because it is a peace that cannot be explained by circumstances or situations. It is a peace that can only be explained by communion and connection with the Almighty God. And I know this isn't a time for personal testimony, but I just want you to know that you can stake your life on this promise. The Word of God proves true. And I've experienced this promise so many times in my life, from the closet of college dorm rooms to wedding sanctuaries to infant loss hospital rooms to the floor of pastors' offices. This Word, this promise proves true. You can come to God and you can pray at all times, in all circumstances, about all things, and experience perfect peace beyond understanding when you rest in the power and the presence of God in prayer. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Literally, God's peace sets up a garrison of defense and guards your heart and mind from anxiety and fear and unbelief. He will protect your mind and heart in Christ Jesus with His perfect peace. Now, you might be thinking, but wait, I don't feel that. I mean, I let my request be made known to God, and I don't feel peace when I walk away. To which I would like to gently ask two questions of you, if that's where you're at. First, what's your focus when you're praying? And secondly, what's your fervency in prayer? First, what's your focus? If your prayers are like this, Lord, please take this away because this is what has happened and this is what has happened and this is how it made me feel, and then they did this, and you just get, and you're so wrapped up in it. You know what you've just done? You've just exported worrying into the throne room of God. That's all you've done, right? You're literally in the presence of God and you're still looking at yourself and your problem. If that's all that ever happens, then no wonder that you don't feel peace after prayer, because you're focusing on your problem rather than focusing on the God of your problem. And of course you don't have peace in that case. Paul doesn't say here, just let your request be made known to God, period, right? He says to do that in a certain way. Let your request be made known to God. How? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, in other words, take it to God. Take that problem to God, but in the context of worship. Take that problem to God in the context of adoration. Take that problem to God in the context of thanksgiving. Peace is found through prayer when you focus not on the problem, but on the God of your problem. As Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he's trusting in you. So what is your focus in prayer? Because when you're focusing on God through worshiping him, through thanking him, and through praising him, it is hard to walk away and not feel peace. In fact, it's impossible. So if you're praying and not feeling peace, don't fix your mind on the problem. Fix your mind on God, because he's the place, safest place to be. It will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Second, if you're not experiencing the peace of God through prayer, I would gently suggest also to check your fervency, not only just your focus, but your fervency. And I don't mean emotional fervency. I'm not saying like, do you really mean it? I'm not talking like that. What I'm talking about is tenacity. Check your desperation. Check your faithfulness, maybe, in prayer. Jesus said this in Luke 11, 9 through 10. And I tell you, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. I'm trying to translate it from the Greek. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And the one who keeps on seeking will find. And the one who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. See, all of those examples that I just gave, when I experienced God's surpassing peace in my own life, when I was looking back on them, very few of them were experienced after quick 5-minute prayers. They were usually after long periods of desperate knocking, sometimes stretching into hours, and arising out of a desperate dependency of God. I cannot function right now with the anxiety and the fear and the distress and the doubt in my heart. I know I'm not honoring or glorifying you in this state. I need your peace. And just like Jacob with the angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me as you have promised. Give me the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's when God guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's not when we pray doubting. It's when we pray in faith, knowing that he exists and he rewards those who diligently, diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And so if you're tempted to doubt this promise because of your experiences, I'd encourage you to check your focus, check your frequency, or your fervency. Because God promises that we can convert our peace into prayer, our panic into peace, excuse me, through prayer. If there's a problem that you're having in that conversion process, again, check your focus, check your fervency. So this is Paul's key admonition that summarizes and introduces us to much of what he's going to admonish throughout his New Testament letters. So let's hear that admonition tonight and put it into practice in obedient faith. In the midst of an ever-increasingly insane world, let's have our reasonableness be known to all. As believers in a God who is always at hand, let's not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let's make our requests be made known unto God. Let's do this at all times, in all circumstances, about all things, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, might guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a gift prayer is, and what a promise we are given.